That's right. You've got to get home and do practice. Okay, so let's go ahead and call the, why does this say November 8th? Let's go ahead and call tonight's council meeting to
October
order.
October 10th.
October 10th. Yeah, I should know that. And we begin with a flag salute, please. Mine does.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know, it's their way of telling me to clean out my box. Roll call.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari? Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Bond?
Okay, Councilmembers Cavallari and Bond notified us they would be out of town for this meeting, so may we have a motion to excuse?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is audience communication. Anybody want to talk to the audience tonight? Going once, twice, what? Talk to the council. Well, I've got this November 8th, 2016 agenda.
Very good, Dan, very good.
Going once, twice. Okay, we will move on. And next up is, the consent agenda?
Yes, the appointment of the new Arts and Beautification Board member has to be moved due to a death in the family of the applicant, so we're rescheduling that.
Okay, and so we have, assuming I'm reading this right, we have three items on the consent agenda?
That's correct.
Item C, approval of checks number 57523 through 57647 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $421,884.76. Audit Committee Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw and Council Member Todd filling in.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $275,898.32.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
And City Council meeting minutes of September 26, 2017. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
And second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Now we're down to reports. As Councilmember Todd has pointed out in the past, on November 1st, I believe, in Edmonds, is an AWC dinner. And it's talking about the legislative agenda in the future. And if anybody wants to go, since we won't be meeting again until November 7th, please give it serious consideration. Food, you know, get dinner and what have you. But you've got to let Gina know so that we can get
signed up. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
So I think that's it for me. Sean?
No report, ma'am.
Thank you. No report.
Just very briefly, I'm going to be talking to the city manager about scheduling some time for a briefing, probably late November, December, about some pending CPP amendments that are going to be coming through Snohomish County tomorrow. I know where I stand wearing my developer hat that I don't have with me, but I need direction from the rest of you as to what the official position of this body will be that I will need to carry forward. So without getting into the details, I'll coordinate with the city manager on a time when we could do that. And I would probably, as part of that, one of the consultants that's working with the group that's promoting these is the former director of planning and development services at the county, who's also a resident of the city. So I've talked to him about, I think it would make sense for him to come in and give a 5 or 10 minute presentation as part of this to help provide some context.
Thank you. Thanks.
Since we cancel our October 24th meeting, people could also look again at the Economic Alliance has got the public officials reception on the 24th, which was a conflict. Now it's not a conflict. So they're trying to get folks to go there. It's both business people and elected officials, local elected officials and state elected officials, a chance to kind of mingle and get acquainted and tell the legislators before they start another session what we'd like to have them do down there. So put that on your calendar too if you'd like. Economic Alliance would like to hear about that. It's free for elected officials, but you need to tell them you're going to come. And the other thing, I went to I'm on the Capital Projects Advisory Committee for the Everett School District. Went to a kickoff meeting for that last week was kind of their get a new set of folks reacquainted, and then they're going to have their first meeting. They got like four meetings, and they're going to talk in detail about their upcoming capital bond that they're going to run next February. See, the school board's in the process of deciding about that, but the topic obviously is all the crowding that's going on. They had a good community meeting here at Jackson last year. I hadn't realized that Jackson's up over like 2,100, 2,200 kids. They were relating that it got to the point a long time ago, got to the point where Everett High School had 2,300 kids before the school district and the voters together decided to build Cascade. And the same thing happened at Cascade. Cascade bulged and bulged and bulged till it got to about 2,300 before they decided to build Jackson. Well, we're kind of at that same point again. And so they're faced with it's a lot of money to build a new high school. They've got the property for it. They're trying to put a few more pieces with it, but that's going to be a big part of this next bond issue. But there's lots of other security upgrades and maintenance upgrades. And so interesting to hear that presentation that will probably be out there in the community once the school board decides on that. I think they've got a target like mid-November. I don't have dates, but they said the school board members are going to be going out to various schools throughout their whole school district talking about how well Everett School District is doing and what they're working on and some of the needs they've got. And so we should look for when those happen in our schools. And when I find that out, or we may hear about it directly, you may get directly on the list, or maybe I'll find out about those. But we got to look at those dates and see if there's some of those we'd like to go participate in, because it's a good chance to be involved with the schools. While it isn't directly our purview, it's really important to the quality of our community. So it's important to participate in that. And that's the end of my report.
Mike, are they going to include improving the soccer field at Jackson like they did for the other schools?
That is not, they have yet to put together a list, but the list is going to be long. It's going to be bigger than the school board, I think, would like to stomach. So what they did is they improved the football field and the track at Cascade. And the discussion we had 4 years ago was they potentially were going to improve the soccer field and the track here. They've just gone ahead and done the track and the football field. So the soccer field, I doubt, will be one of their priority items because they spent the money on that piece of it. You may have seen in the newspaper, at least I saw that the county had chipped some money in for Memorial Field up in Everett, the baseball field, the county and the city and the Aqua Sox. Excuse me, the county, the school district, and the Aqua Sox are all putting in new turf there. It's going to make it a better facility for the school district and for the community. And I think in this next round, they do have to replace the field at Memorial Stadium. So I think we'll see that'll be the field, but that's because it's safety hazard. It's coming apart. So my personal opinion is I'd love to see them do the soccer field here. I think it'd be great for the community and great for the school, because that one they've got is kind of messy and it's used by the physical education classes, but I bet it's going to be a would be nice instead of a have to have kind of thing on the list. Yep, thanks.
I have one more thing. When we did the discussion of the consolidation last week, and Scott, our city attorney, said that the ILA was changed to reflect that in fact, that's not the case. Marysville withdrew their request, so there is no more protection with having to go back out. So it'll just be a supermajority vote of the board for a major change to the ILA.
So that would include the CSRS thing too?
And CSRS is actually, given that the radio system will be 70 to 75 million, is actually bigger than the organization. The consolidated organization, but Marysville did ask, and then they withdrew their request. Why, I don't know.
Is it worth trying to, in my opinion, it's probably worth bringing it back up again, or maybe it's too late? It seems like if somebody else asked for it, and we were also interested just because they took their request out, it seems like it still was a good idea. Do you think people objected to it?
Well, what I think happened and what I know are two different things.
Okay.
So as much as I absolutely believe it belongs there, at this point, I don't think that there's anything we can do. We took a run at it, and we got nowhere. And I think what happened is they just didn't want to fight it out. it was there, and then they, like Scott told us, it was, but they pulled it.
And they have not provided any updated documentation for Scott or I to look at yet, so.
Because the version we had last week looked like it said that. I was amazed.
Yeah, no, what Scott presented to you was the latest version we had to review.
But they changed it since then.
And so the mayor and the chief who attended the board meeting after that meeting that Scott presented to the council, this information came back, but we haven't received any documents showing red line changes yet.
So anyway, Thursday we vote for the consolidation, and at that point you're stuck with whatever ILA they give you because there are no, there will no longer be any alternatives. There's not any competition. There's just the one monopoly, which has always been a concern. On the other hand, Mill Creek is picking up the call transfer problem, which is about 100 calls a month will go away. Well, as soon as the other people get cross-trained. But it will go away, so it should be safer. But there's that much less control on spending and decisions. So,
I think fundamentally this is still a good idea in the aggregate. It's the little details that worry us, and I'm glad we're looking at all the I's dotted and T's crossed. But maybe this is one more thing we'd ask the city manager to put on our letter of transmittal. Says, okay, we signed the ILA, but here's the things we're watching, and maybe one of them is that. We would sure hope that a major decision like taking on CSRS within this new organization would be something that all agency, despite what the ILA says, it'd be good if everybody was in general agreement or something, or they kind of encourage them to at least remember to check with everybody.
Well, what they say is that they want to maintain flexibility and...
Dangerous.
Yeah, what you don't want, what they don't want is control, so... Or what they have is control, and now they don't need to. So, but I just wanted to be clear because I expect the consolidation to move forward and that we will be supportive. But we don't have as many protections going down the road. So it was disappointing. So anyway, city manager.
Thank you. In your packets, you have the council planning schedule. That is a pretty fluid document right now as we're waiting on information from other parties, and that affects the calendar. One item not on the calendar that we are working to add is a planning session for a legislative agenda. We have AWC's legislative agenda that they have recently published. We are asking a representative from AWC to participate in a work session, at least via teleconference, to go through that to provide a springboard for conversation among the council of any other legislative agenda topics that may be of interest. When we get some dates solidified, we'll add that to the planning schedule. Next in the agenda pack is the ICMA recognition. With the council's permission, I'd like to hold that for the last report item and ask our Director of Finance and Administration to present the quarterly financial report. But I also want to take this opportunity before she did that to just introduce and thank Sandy Kaki, who is one of our accountants in the finance department. And Sandy's one of those employees that's what I call an unsung hero because she does a lot of the debits and credits and ticket ties that no one ever sees. And I can tell you she is just a complete and utter joy to work with. But more than that, I think Peggy would agree that we have spent a lot of nights and weekends here in the last 18 months working on things, and Sandy's been right there with us.
Yes,
and we could not have gotten through it without her. So I just wanted to take a moment, and we thought it was a good night since we're presenting the financial statements to recognize Sandy and her efforts that are reflected in these financial statements. So with that, Peggy, turn it
all
over
right.
to you.
I would just like to echo the city manager that Sandy has been my right-hand person and has been here through thick and thin, and I appreciate it. Because we would not have gotten through it. We handed out packets tonight. I apologize that you didn't have a chance to see them. We tried to expedite the close process since we don't have that third council meeting. We didn't want to talk about September and November. So if you will bear with me, your first item in the packet is the memorandum. We'll go through, so if you want to save that for bedtime reading, we can talk about the numbers from a 30,000-foot level. The first graph that you see in your packet is the 9-month ended So it's our September actual results compared to what we had budgeted. And I think it tells a pretty good story. If you look at where we budgeted for revenues, we had budgeted $7,510,000. We actually exceeded that by about $820,000 to come in at $8.3 million. Our expenses are holding their own. They're pretty much approximate budget. They're just slightly under by $86,000. And those two components impact the fund balance that you see on the right of that chart. We had planned to have a fund balance of $4.5 million, and right now we're a little over $900,000 above that, coming in at $5.440. So those are good results, good numbers.
9 months?
Yes.
And you're expecting that to continue through the year?
Yes. The next graph, I always like to look from where we came, so the next graph shows you where we're at for 27. For the 9 months, and it compares it to 2016 and 2015. And you can see that the trend there on the graph on the revenue side, we keep creeping up. In 2015, we were at almost 7.5 million. Today, we're at the 8.3. And if you look back at last year for the first 9 months of 2016, we were at almost 8.2 million. Expenses tells a story. If you look back to 2016 for the first 9 months, we were almost at 9.8 million. This year, for that same time period, we're coming in at 9.2. And then again, the fund balance for 2017, we're at 5.4 million. September, a year ago, we were 900,000 lower, coming in at 4.5. And in September 2015, we're actually $750,000 better than we were then. The next graph, or next report, is for our number friends. There are other graphs in the back that show, you know, the results from a chart perspective, but we'll just walk through these numbers. And just to reacclimate and reorient yourself to this report, we've got the biennial budget. That's for the 2 years on the left-hand side. That next column is the first 9 months actual. And then the next column compares the biennial budget with where we are for the first 9 months, and really, in my opinion, isn't a whole lot meaningful for our discussion. So I'd like to focus on where we are for the budget, which is the next column after the percentages. And then the difference is the actual. So for revenues, you can see if we take that first category, which is our taxes, our property taxes are pretty much in line with what we had budgeted. We're a little bit under, but that's really a function of the budget. This third quarter is where we have a lull in collecting property taxes. As all of us know who live here in the city, we're getting ready to write that check to the county, which will be remitted back to the city, those funds. We expect for the property tax and the EMS to collect another $3.6 million before the end of the year. So that's a good story. I think we'll be on target with the budget for the 2017 results. Sales tax is a line we like to look at. You can see that we came in for the first 9 months at $1.9 million. We had budgeted $1.7 million, so we have a favorable variance, which is $220,000. And if you'll recall, when we went through the biennial budget, we said, okay, well, we're going to use these sales tax that come in through construction dollars, and we had earmarked $185,000 to go into CIP to fund one-time revenue with one-time expenses. So we've actually fulfilled that budget amount of the 185. We actually surpassed it in Q2. So we've got 185,000 sitting in CIP, and so this is the remainder that's sitting in the general fund. And as you flip through the charts here, you'll see a couple pages back is a pie of those sales tax revenues, and it shows you by quarter, by the types of sales tax that the city is collecting. So for instance, in the third quarter for construction, we collected $208,000. Year to date, we're at $466,000 in construction revenue. $185,000 went into CIP. We still have, you know, we're doing better than what we had planned to put over there. When we get to projecting out the rest of this year and then looking into 2018, we'll want to take a look at our budget amendments and decide what we do if that money stays in the general fund to match some one-time expenses that we've incurred through the first 9 months and what it looks like going forward.
And I do think that's an important point. You know, it's easy to just look at the bottom line and say, oh, we're $800,000 above projections. And a couple of things I'd point out. One, it's 9 months. It's a 24-month budget cycle. So you have to keep in mind we still have a long road to hoe. The other is really going to, you know, our financial policies where we talked about trying to segregate out one-time revenues and marrying those with one-time expenditures. And Peggy alluded to that. We budgeted that with what we projected construction sales tax to be. But I'd say a lot of that $800,000 that is excess revenue over and above what we budgeted, a lot of that is made up of one-time expenditures, building permit fees, plan check fees, construction sales tax, things that won't be recurring. And so when we look at the budget amendments and we look at, you know, our tax ordinances that will be coming up for discussion, we really need to segregate out one-time expenditures, and you'll see us recommend to you in budget amendments taking one-time expenditures that are excess revenue over and above what we budgeted to put with one-time expenditures that are things that we recommended because we could track what the budget could do. So our CPSM studies, our website development that wasn't originally in the budget, some reorganizations, things like that, that we are one-time, that we want to pay for that. And then we look at operating expenditures in terms of recurring expenditures and recurring revenues. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we get into November and December. And while I do agree, it's a good story. It's a story you also have to bifurcate out into recurring revenue and non-recurring revenue.
Go ahead.
So when we decided that when you guys suggested and we agreed the 185, we had vintage in mind, but we probably didn't know about arena sports or Mill Creek sports or whatever. So those were probably, there's probably still money coming in because it takes, does it take the same 3 or 4 months for that money to come back to us as well?
It's 2 months.
Yeah, well, it lags by 2 months. So
2 months, okay.
What we're reporting today covers, I think it's
July.
Up through maybe July.
Yeah, July, August, September.
So arena sports, they're still buying stuff.
Yeah.
That's still going to go on for a while, but that's a lump that we didn't even anticipate when you put the 185. So we may want to, I'd be in favor of more of that and say that's more one time.
And that's where I think we'll get to, and, you know, we'll have recommendations for budget amendments related to projects we took on this year that weren't in the original budget. And then I think for next year's budget amendments is where we'll really look at, okay, well, how did we end out the 24-month period? Did the trend continue through 2018? And then what do we want to segregate to reserves? What do we want to segregate to capital? Because you do have a big capital bill coming as we build this CIP and looking out at that. And so I think that is definitely going to be our recommendation. We also need to make sure, like I said, that we're going to be on track with everything. While we have concluded AFSCME negotiations, guild negotiations are underway. That's a big recurring expense that we don't have a finite number to yet. So, again, it's a good story, but lots of chapters to it.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're setting aside enough one-time money. We have millions of dollars in capital needs and that haven't been fulfilled in the last however many years. And we need to make sure that we have enough money for those. We may not have a CIP right now, a good one, but we're going to have to find the funding, and this is the type of money, that one-time money, that will go to protecting our infrastructure.
Right.
And then also to continue on the sales tax revenue, you know, we talked about construction, and then you see your services, which is the next line down, and then your retail trade. Services is that restaurant hospitality theme that we're going with to increase revenue for the city. And then retail trade is like our Lowe's, et cetera.
And I think, Councilmember Todd, just as you alluded to, we didn't have arena sports for construction retail. when we were doing budget prep. But the other unknown to that is the sales tax that would fall into kind of that services side that they will generate. So that's an unknown for next year. We'll track that as well.
Yeah, and that's going to be a continuing thing. Hopefully
Correct.
They're successful, and that'll be continuing. But, yeah, it's the one-time hits that
mm-hmm. And so one of the things I appreciate that Peggy has done is to revise the report to really break down the sales tax. So that gives us at least another layer of analytics to segregate out one-time construction from ongoing.
Yeah.
Are there activities once they're open here shortly? Is it subject to retail sales tax when they charge their users?
Yeah, they will be subject to tax.
So are we going to put together an estimate going forward at some point of what?
Yeah, I just don't have any data to think intelligently about that yet.
Even
I think that's a new thing. A couple of years ago, they started putting it. They put sales tax on league fees because that was a big issue for the city rec department, whether we had to charge taxes on our softball league for adults or the classes, wasn't it? I think. I mean, it used to be that league fees were not taxed, and so you would question whether Arena Sports would be collecting tax on all those things. But I think that changed a couple of years ago, didn't it?
I just know
they're going to have party rooms and, you know, for rent, and they're going to have food and beverage, I believe, and so there'll be those components as well.
No, DOR is going through every attempt to reclassify anything that wasn't subject to tax before to find a way to make it subject to retail sales tax now. They're more than trying.
Maybe you could check with some of the other arena sports facilities to see.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. We will. All right, if you flip back to our report and we look down, we've just talked about the taxes. Now we're at our licenses and permits. Again, the building permits is over budget, had more volume than what we had previously budgeted, which is a good story. The intergovernmental taxes are pretty much spot on. We get that information from MRSC when we put the budget together. PUD privilege tax, which has a big goose egg right now, will put money on the books in October that they pay once a year. And then down to the charges for services, development and plan check fees continue to be over what was planned. We're doing really well. Harbor Homes actually pulled in their 2018 business into 2017, so we realized that TI's what was budgeted is actually doing better than what we had planned. And then the other story in there is our passport fees, which every quarter just seems to be rocking it. And I think, you know, I think from this quarter, third Q through 3 2017 versus where we were at in Q3 of 2016, we've done 1,050 more passports, which is a 50% increase. And so we're like, when's the lull going to happen? And there's a couple of things that are happening in the community. One is that Bothell has discontinued processing passports. So we're getting people from there. But the other place that we're reaching is from Everett. The post office they say temporarily discontinued, but it's been 3 or 4 months now that they haven't been processing. So, and I've got to say that Jody has been doing a fantastic job at the customer service. She is up at the counter. She is helpful. She is inviting and really embraces this concept of Mill Creek at your service. And so I hope that is breeding. You know, we're getting the referrals from people who have been here, and that's the feedback we're getting. So, you know, and then if we take that a little bit further, we've talked about bringing in other services to complement that and got really close last year. You know, I'm hoping 2018 we can set ourselves up to build that business even further. But if you take the projections out where we've been, what we've been experiencing, we're looking to do the biennium budget in 2017. We should be close to $450,000. So that's no small amount of change that we're bringing in through those front doors.
And if you'll recall, we changed our whole business model about a year ago on that. So whereas we used to have one window here in the police department, you know, we moved it over here and we took it from half days, you know, 4 days a week, to normal business hours. And we also use rotating part-time help so that if we have a lull and we don't have business, we can send folks home and we don't incur those hourly wages.
I think that's definitely contribute. The throughput that we get, you know, we've got experienced people now. They've been with us for a year or two. I think the throughput is really picked up. We're doing more with less bodies, too.
When the enhanced driver's license thing gets figured out, is that going to potentially take some of this away? Are people just going, forget it, I'm just going to get a passport because it's good for 10 years and it supplants
it? I think that's an unknown right now. I mean, they talk about it, but there's still states besides Washington still working through the driver's license issue. And, you know, I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's a combination of things, the change in business model, other shops shutting down, the enhanced driver's license.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Who else should we put out of business? You guys are doing great. You're rocking the competition here.
They're supposed to be kicking around the idea of increasing the fee we can charge by $10 too, but that's been in talks for a while, so it'd be nice if that materialized.
The Department of State.
Yeah. Then the next category is our miscellaneous revenue. The big budget difference that's actually positive is interest. We budgeted conservatively based on the experience from the previous year, and we've done much better than that. Flipping over to our expenditures for the first 9 months, again, same format. If you look at that second column for the actual year to date, we've already talked about the expenditures of $9.2 million versus a budget of $9.3 million, so we've got about an $86,000 pickup, if you will. Those are timing differences. If you look through the detail, you can see different departments are over and other departments are under. From a 30,000-foot level, you know, I think some of the things that are contributing to that, legal is obviously a big issue. You know, we had all of the PRA records. We've had negotiations with AFSCME. The legal fees were more than what we had anticipated. For finance, you know, when we're doing that throughput and we have that revenue that increases, that's not free. You have variable cost to that sale, which is headcount. You have to be able to shift the volume up and down to adjust for the demand in the business. So you'll see a little bit of that. Also within the finance department, the fees that we're getting charged that came over from 2016, the Bank of America fee structure has changed for 2016, which we pay in 2017. And then we were just recently on a phone call with them. They're going up again. So Bank of America is not the business model for us. We need to go to a regional bank. You know, that might be Wells, or maybe it's a local bank, depending on the services that they provide. So Sandy and I have been noodling that a little bit, and that's going to be one of the things that we look at in early 2018, because we need...
Months ago, you said that you were thinking about an RFP this fall.
Yeah, we are.
Lots of local banks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can cities work with credit unions?
I don't know. I don't know that they can't, but it's something we can find out.
Yeah. I know a lot of organizations over the last few years have left Bank of America and gone to BECU or Horizon or other local banks, but BECU is big, but they are still local.
Right.
And at least on the personal side, they do well. I don't know if they do businesses and governments very well or not.
Yeah, one of the things that will be important to us is that we have brick and mortar that's close by, because we get some cash that we want to take to the bank on some frequency. You know, no longer than a week can we hold sit on that. So it's something to consider, but we do need to move on that because the fees are more than what I think we should be paying. Information technology, we've got a little bit of a pickup right now, but that's really a timing issue. Patrol is on the mark right now, but really they've underspent in their, and it's a timing issue with their normal ordinary course of business. Of course, we have the CPSM study that we didn't budget for, so that's taking up a little bit of the favorable variance, giving them even with what we had planned.
The fire service,
I'm sorry?
When will that be ready?
I'm hoping for a draft in the next week or two, but then we'll go through edits. So I have it tentatively scheduled to discuss with the council on your planning agenda for the second meeting in November.
The fire service is up. You know, we had longer negotiations, so the legal fees associated with that are reflected in this variance. But I will say that for Q3, our payment, you know, we went through negotiations, and now our quarterly payment is about almost $60,000 lower than what the average of the first two quarterly payments were. So that's a positive. We're about $900,000 where we were $965,000. So we've managed to negotiate that quarterly payment down for the remainder of 2017. And then community development and public works, we really look at, we had some budget issues where we budgeted, you know, somebody in community development and they're actually being expensed in public works. And so as we look at consolidating those departments, we will come with budget amendments to reflect that. But overall, you know, they've got a positive variance right now. And so, as I said before, the expenditures are $86,000 under. If you take that $820,000 of revenue where we're over, it gives us a positive result for the fund balance. The next slide is the sales tax revenue, which we went through. So we'll move on to the other funds. Not a whole lot happening here. I think we've talked about we're working to get through the CIP plan and get that developed as we look at the projects that need to move forward. Our City Streets Fund has taken in about a little bit more than what we had budgeted. Their expenses are a little bit under what we had budgeted. And then if you skip down to the capital improvement projects, you can see the revenues that we've taken in. Again, the capital improvement, that 194 that you see, has the 185 that we took from sales tax and put into the separate fund. Our real estate excise tax is $914,000, 60% of what we budgeted. We're very conservative when we budget the real estate. I've tried to get better intel from the county on the properties that are transacting, but they just don't have the detail, and they take a snapshot at that point in time. So really hard to improve on the forecasting with that.
Would we have developer mitigation payments, there was a change in the timing on when they had to be paid, wasn't there, from permit to property being ready for sale? And does that change? Or
the state law was changed that allows a certain number of the building permit, the fees for building permits to be deferred to the time of building permit issuance instead of when the plat's recorded.
But building permit fees, not the
No, it's mitigation fees.
Mitigation fees, yeah. Okay. So some of those would be delayed in when they hit here, potentially from what we had in the past?
For a small period, of a few months, yes. Okay.
Because things are selling as soon as they're ready anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the, I think per project it's, and I don't know that we have any right now that would even trigger this, because the state statute only requires jurisdictions to change the regulations to allow up to 20. So the two plats that are going over off of 35th and Seattle Hill Road, I'm not sure. One of them might be that big, but the other one I don't think is. But I don't know if they took advantage of it.
Okay.
And then we have our surface water, which were a little bit under what we had budgeted. Those dollars don't match the same cycle that the property tax do. We're a little bit of a lag. We get the we get a quarter of 2016 like in February. So we're a little bit under. I need to dive back into that and see if our budget is off or it's a timing issue or what's going on there. Recreation.
Excuse me, don't they put those on the property taxes?
They do. They you pay the property tax, but the county does not remit to us.
They separate them?
Yeah, it comes at a different time. And we pay
That's
for
cumbersome.
That pleasure separately.
Very cumbersome on their part.
It does seem cumbersome.
Yeah, really. Okay, thank you.
You bet. And then the rec has got $441,000 of revenue. Now, remember that we fund rec out of the general fund to make up for the difference in the revenue versus what they spend through September of 2017, we've funded them almost $100,000. We've got two and a quarter that we've budgeted for the biennium, so we're right about there with what we had planned. The next statement just looks at the revenue and expense a little bit differently, slices and dices it. I put this together last year because we had a bunch of money coming in from the general fund that was different, and we had money going out, so I wanted to look at it differently from what we're actually receiving versus different financing alternatives, and this just continues that methodology. Any questions on revenue or expenses or funds before we move to cash? So our cash and investments, we've had some bonds that have matured. We have a stair-step methodology in place to invest the money, but since we are going into probably an unprecedented time in the city of Mill Creek history with the amount of expenditures going out for 35th and the fact that we don't really have a good view of the CIP plan until we really sit down and go through the different components to allow us to cash flow plan a little bit better, we've allowed those investments to mature, and rather than reinvesting, which is what you typically would do so that you have the four-year step, we've put that money in the LGIP. And I've looked at the difference between investing it in the LGIP, because that's a short-term liquid, and it's about 1.12 30-day yield right now, which is a lot better than it was a year ago, versus investing it in an instrument. And the return is better in LGIP, so the fact that it gives me the liquidity and we're getting a fairly decent rate versus what we could if we tied it up for longer, just because we don't know with the timing of the funds with the grant. Kamal was nice enough to introduce me to some folks out in Snoqualmie a couple of weeks ago who have done a ton of grants and really have a good solid process to walk me through, because I'm really worried about, you know, we have to expend the money first and then when do we get it back? And lo and behold, there was affirmation that you don't really know when you're going to get it back. So I'd like to have a better feel, because the last thing I want to do is tell the city manager I don't have any money to pay her bills. So I'm being a little cautious there. But as we get into the process a little bit further, you know, we'll come up with a better plan.
I hear you right. The LGIP is above 1%?
Yeah, 1.1. The true 30-day yield is 1.12, and the 30-day yield is 1.1.
It was about a year ago. It was 0.1.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
It's really turned around. And then the next report really just tells you where your cash and investments are, just slices and dices it a little bit differently. We have 8.2 that's invested in securities, and then we have 8.4 that's sitting in the LGIP, and then we have cash in the bank of $1.4 million. So we have about $18 million in cash and investments. And then I'll let you look through your packet for those that like to see the funds in a graph form. It goes through in pretty much detail. I think you're familiar with these. And it does give a good picture of where things are at. But we're doing pretty good with what we had planned we were going to do, with the exception of revenues, which is more than we had anticipated. Any questions?
Well, this is the topic of the last couple of days. So that last one down there on cash and investments by fund, the one that's other is traffic violations, that's the money that we're going to send to the state and they're going to cash the check someday?
Yeah, and so, I mean, oddly enough, I don't know why the state lets us wait till the end of the year, because if I was their finance director, I'd be doing it at least quarterly, if not monthly, for larger jurisdictions. I mean, you think of somebody like an Everett.
Seattle.
They've got a lot of money sitting on their balance sheet that the state could.
But this 179, 118, that's that's the share of all the tickets that we've collected on that is going to go to the state for all those different funds,
yeah.
PSE training and stuff like that. Okay. So that really, that's money that is in our account, and it's really
the liability.
Liability for us.
Yeah. Even though we're cash basis.
Okay. Thanks.
Please feel free as you dive into this and have had a chance to digest it. If you have questions, I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Bert.
Next.
Okay, I'm going to ask Joni to help me with getting something set up. While she does that, I just had a few prefatory comments. As the council knows, that the city, as an entity, and myself, as a city manager, are members of ICMA, which is the International City County Management Association. And ICMA advances professional local government through leadership, management, innovation, and ethics. And in fact, it actually provides support to 11,000 cities, city, town, and county managers, their staff, other individuals, and organizations throughout the world. It actually is a very international organization. So I am very pleased tonight to announce to you that the city of Mill Creek will be featured at the ICMA annual conference as a great example of innovation and progress. The conference will take place later this month in San Antonio with over 3,500 professional managers attending. In fact, Mill Creek is just one of only 10 communities with populations under 20,000 that'll be featured at the conference, and it was ICMA was particularly interested in the city's innovative approach to government. I know internally and externally in our community for the past couple years, we've had a lot of discussion about changes at the city. You know, change is not always easy. And it's easier to be a follower than a leader because people want someone else to make those hard decisions, overcome the challenges, and show them how it should be done. ICMA's recognition of Mill Creek at its conference and throughout the next year demonstrates that the city of Mill Creek is forging the path that will inspire others to follow. The video I'm about to show you will be unveiled at the conference, as I said, later this month, and shared with international audiences over the next year. It discusses the city's challenges in recent years, how it's taken steps to overcome those challenges, and how Mill Creek is positioning itself for a strong and vibrant future. The core message in the video is that the city has a strong vision for making the community a vibrant, family-friendly place that is desirable for new business, and in turn, new growth stimulates the overall local economy and provides revenue that benefits our community. After the conference, the video will be retooled for the city marketing purposes, such as attracting new developers or businesses to Mill Creek that align with the city's tourism focus and other strategic initiatives. And before we launch into the video, I would just really like to say that as a city, I don't think that we could focus on our innovation and our changes and our movement forward and our evolution, if you will, and receive this kind of international recognition without the collaborative efforts that we as a team have worked on the past couple years, the council, the manager, the leadership team, and all of our employees at the city. Our community and our government really is better when we work together, and I hope that comes through in this video because I do firmly believe that. As you know, I don't require department heads to be here unless they have something on the agenda. I've invited them here tonight because the recognition that the city is receiving is as much from their hard efforts as the council's leadership, and I want them to take part in that. And I especially want to recognize Joni because these videos don't just come out of a can, and they take a tremendous amount of work in terms of script writing, coordinating with the production crew, identifying places to film, and it was a tremendous effort to meet the deadline for the ICMA conference. We could only have 5 spokespersons, so I wasn't going to try to attempt to choose who out of 7 on the council is going to be there. Because it is a management conference, they obviously wanted the manager. We have some local folks, and then we chose the mayor and mayor pro tem, and we went on rank only, so no one should feel slighted. So with that, Joni, may I turn it over to you.
Mill Creek is really unique in that we're centrally located in Snohomish County, which is the second fastest growing county in the country. We're the southern part of Snohomish County, so we're close to the employment bases in Seattle and the east side of Seattle, as well as to Everett and the Boeing facility.
I think the city of Mill Creek has done a wonderful job in its since incorporation of keeping the feel of that golf course community. Very few communities, as they grow, have the ability to maintain that fresh green look. And if you look at the amount of park space, the walking trails, the natural beauty of the city, when you're walking through Mill Creek, you really don't realize that you're just a hop, skip, and jump away from Seattle. We are not part of the concrete jungle, and I think that's what makes Mill Creek really special.
Mill Creek is a wonderful community. We have terrific people. We have the environment where people want to live. We have all the activities that you could possibly want. You can be in Mill Creek and stay in Mill Creek.
When I came to the city of Mill Creek, there was a $2.4 million budget shortfall, and the city had been in deficit spending for a number of years. But it really was an opportunity and not a negative. We had this opportunity with this very young city to really paint on a blank canvas how we wanted to govern and how we wanted to be innovative and dynamic and different and really create the type of government people say they want. And so we were able to reorganize the departments, attract a top-notch leadership team from the public and private sector, and start painting a picture of a new type of government. And in 18 months, we've been able to eliminate the deficit. We have had the lowest tax increase in 6 years, and we are moving forward with long-term planning for the city and a really productive environment.
Mill Creek is transitioning from a decade ago when we benefited from a lot of tax revenue from construction activity. That was great. It developed a big reserve for Mill Creek, but now our city is largely built out, so we're having to find different ways to create that tax revenue to create a stable tax base moving forward. In the short term, the city, Mill Creek, working with our city manager, we were able to come up with a budget through restructuring the physical plant and the personnel to bring the budget into balance. Now our challenge is to replicate that going forward, to figure out how we can create that tax revenue so we don't have to dip into our reserves and we can use our reserves for more strategic purposes.
The city is really nearly at build out for new construction. And so if you want to create a new revenue source, we had to get innovative, and we're using tourism to do that. And we have been very fortunate to attract Arena Sports here, which is they have selected Mill Creek to be their location of their newest and largest facility. That is going to be conveniently located adjacent to the existing Mill Creek Sports Park. And adjacent to that, we have 10 acres of land that is debt-free that the city purchased several years ago. And what we have now is the ability to master plan a recreation zone that can be the driver for a hospitality arm of sports tourism to generate a new revenue stream for the city.
Arena Sports looked at other locations, but Mill Creek really topped the list for several reasons. One, accessibility. It's right near the freeway. It's near other major arterials, north, south, east, west. So it's very easy to get to. Also, the growing family population and strong participation in youth and adult sports was really important to us. And the city of Mill Creek really has a strong vision for making the community a vibrant, family-friendly place. And that's obviously a great fit for Arena Sports.
With more tourism and some sports coming into the area, it's going to bring in more people. More people brings more people into the town center, more business for all the fine retail and great restaurants that are here. So it's really exciting.
What's good about the way that we're approaching this is that we have the business and the traffic and the density away from our residential areas. But the other thing that we're doing that I think is unique is we're doing connectivity so that people can get from one side of the city to the other. We'll have bike trails, we have sidewalks, so that people can get to these facilities, get to their homes, but also the guests that come and visit our city will be able to get from section to section, not necessarily have to get into their cars, which will, again, keep them in the business area of the community.
I'm excited that we've stabilized things, first of all, because it gives us a lot of opportunities. Our city is debt-free. I'm excited to figure out a way that we can create an asset for our citizens that also promotes tourism and generates that tax revenue that helps stabilize our tax base going forward so that we don't have to dip into the reserves.
We're growing into fiscal sustainability. We need to be able to pay our bills and live within our means. For years, we didn't do that. We need to maintain our infrastructure, and we're working on a plan right now where we'll be able to afford to do that for the next 30 to 40 years. I'm excited about the long-term possibilities of our city and the fact that we're actually working towards those goals and we're not afraid.
I like.
Can I just say that Joni actually, she did an amazing job coordinating all this, having us show up. She was standing there holding some big silver flying saucer for lunch, and the choices of where she had people going and shooting, I think that the visuals are just huge, and thinking ahead about how we'll be able to use this to support our business and tourism and economic development, which is, you know, what we're about. So this wouldn't have happened without her. Yeah, although the stripes and the dangles were a little overboard.
That's pretty cool. But really, really well done.
Very well done.
I think after about 7:30, we can give Joni the rest of the day off.
When will this be posted on the city website?
I need to check with ICMA to see if they will not object to us doing that before the conference, because that's when they're kind of unveiling them. But we'll get it up there as soon as we can. And, you know, I'm extremely proud to be going to the conference and have our city highlighted during the conference. So.
Wonderful. Great job. Yeah, you guys did a great job.
I don't see, Joni, this being people will not be looking at their cell phones. I told Joni that when we were at AWC, they had all these different cities, and the first thing people did was look at their cell phones. And I didn't want that to happen to our city, because we have a story to tell that will benefit others. And so Joni, I think, went a long way to making that happen. So test of success, no
cell phones. Just be prepared after the ICMA to have the talent agents calling y'all.
No dangles. Yeah.
I am meeting with EASC on Monday, and we're going to be actually showing that to them and some of the other agencies throughout the state that we work with like that, just so they're aware of it. And then Joni and I will be talking about a marketing plan where we can incorporate the video for different marketing purposes or portions of the video.
Very nice. Right. That was a nice surprise. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. And do not forget to RSVP for Veterans Day if you have not already done so to Gina. So.
Anything else?
That is all.
Audience communication one more time. Going once, twice. Okay, with that, thank you, everybody, and we are adjourned. It's so scary.